you doing, guys? Tom Strakes here, the founder of 30 Plus Men's Fitness, and I hope you're all doing good. I'm back for another edition of the 30 Plus Men's Fitness podcast, and I'm sat virtually with a friend of mine who is sat in East London or North London. I'm not sure he's gonna tell you in a minute, but I got friendly with him at the start of the year. He's making a huge name for himself on social media right now. Coach Cartel, Darren Cartel, Coach Cartel, what do I call you, fam?
Hey, you can call me whatever you want, man. Hey, you know when I met you, I only had 10,000 followers, bro. I've got 30 now. I feel like a big dog. You're my first podcast. I'm like mad excited, bro. I'm like, yeah. I called my mum. I was like, I've got a podcast, mum. I can't wait.
Wicked, mate. Honestly, it's awesome to have you on. Obviously, I met you through James when you were in Cardiff. I love following you guys on social media, your stories. You've got a great movement. You've just got a great message. So we got to be honest, guys. Like, Darren is not quite 30. All right. In fact, he's 26. But
I'm 26. It's the beard. Hey, it's the beard, isn't it? It's the beard. I can get away with it.
It doesn't matter, guys. And I'll tell you why. Because he's got a great movement started, which we'll talk about. And I'm a massive believer in it. And that's why I wanted to get him on. Because what his message is very applicable to you guys. A lot of you guys that listen to the podcast, you're kind of struggling. You kind of, like, I meet so many heavier guys and you believe that you have to, you know, set an alarm and get up and go running at 5 a.m, or you need to go to the gym 3 days a week and do a split routine. And what Darren is doing is he's clearing up all that confusion. And just like myself, like James Smith, we're trying to make it as easy and applicable for you. So that is... it's not a prison sentence, you know, like health and fitness shouldn't be a prison sentence, guys. So we're going to give you some great value today. But for those of you that, you know, that haven't heard of Darren, because like he said, like when we met a couple of months ago, he's only on 10,000 followers on Instagram. He's now on 30,000 followers. You know what I mean? Like, he's blown up and he's grown up and he keeps growing. So Darren, look, just tell the lads a little bit, like, who is Coach Cartel? How did you get into the fitness industry? Talk about growing up, how you got into fitness and exercise. The hot seat is yours, my man.
All right, cool. Right. 26, Darren Cartel. Born in Tottenham, but raised in East London. Yeah. And pretty much the only reason I got into PT, right, originally, was I need somewhere to train to become a better athlete to play football. And that's why I originally got into it. I got gassed by two of my friends called Andy and Stephen. They were playing pro football at the time. And I got gassed. I was like, all right, they're training the gym all the time. I need to get myself a job in the gym and like make sure I can train all the time so I can get better as an athlete. But you know what? Once I got into it, and once I was studying sports in college as well, I started growing a passion for it. Okay. And to be honest, till last year, I never even pushed social media at all. It was until I met James. I got gassed when I met James. I was like, hey, yes, he's shouting in the background. So he kind of gassed me. I saw him. I was like, oh, I see this guy. I said, I could do it better than this guy. Yeah, so that motivated me to like jump on the online thing. And also at this point, I was living in Australia. So
like East London to Australia.
Hey, when I was 17, I met a girl.
Yeah. Oof.
I met this girl, I was with the same girl since I was 17 to 25.
Oof.
The same. Hey, I know, man. I was loyal as well, man. Mate, I was a good boy.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, and at that point, I was like, I miss home, man. And although I loved Australia, the fitness scene is all right. It's good there. It's wicked there. It lacks other things. But sure. I just miss home. And I was like, when I saw James starting off his online thing and I was talking to him about how much he was making, I was like, hey, this is perfect for me to earn a bit of money online so I can go home and visit my family whenever I want. Because initially I went out there for a girl, man. You know what I mean? So I've always been broken. Like when I was 16, I got a scholarship to play football in Turkey and I was away from family. And then when I came back, I met this girl. I went again to Istanbul. I played football again. And it was just back and forth. And like, I didn't really have money coming in from online.
Yeah.
Which would have given me the freedom that I have now.
Sure.
And the world is my oyster now, man. Oh my days.
Yeah.
It's the best.
So how long were you PTing out in, is in Sydney, are you?
Yeah. Sydney.
How long were you PTing out there?
I PT'd over 2.5 years in Sydney, but I was PT'ing at Fitness First Oxford Circus.
Yeah.
When I was turning 20.
Yeah.
And I've done that for 2 years in Oxford Circus, two and a half, three years in Oxford Circus. And then I moved out to Sydney and I went to something that I know, like went straight into Fitness First as a franchise, because you're self-employed at Fitness First. And I hustle harder when I'm self-employed
yeah.
and I'm PTing on the gym floor. So I went to something I already know, went there, got a job there on the day. And I was like, boom, started killing it there on the gym floor. And I PTed there for 2.5 years before I made the decision of leaving my ex-fiance.
Yeah.
And I pretty much ended a wedding like 4 or 5 months beforehand.
Really?
A lot of people going, oh, but I had to do that for me.
Yeah. And I think if you know, you know, mate.
I feel like I didn't accomplish a lot of things. And I feel like, yeah, man, you know, man. It was difficult at the time. It was really difficult at the time.
Yeah.
But it was for the best for me because although you got to think of family and friends, but if you don't put yourself first,
yeah, sure.
Like, you're not, number one, you're not going to be happy and you're just going to resent everyone else around you, man.
Yeah.
And I think it's like a big problem with a lot of people these days, you know, they blame other people for their decision making.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one of those things I just had to do the jump and do. And you know what? As bad as it sounds, it was the best decision of my life.
Yeah, I think that you said you were in a relationship there from 17 to 26. I was similar. I was from 20 to 29. Long-term relationship, completely loyal. Thought that was it.
Yeah.
I remember coming out of the relationship just before my 30th. And I should have been unhappy, but it was like a relief. And also, I had the job of my dreams. I had my personal training business set up and it felt like the world's my oyster. And I can tell you, mate, from 30 yeah. to 33, 34, mate, I had the best time. Yeah. And then I met my missus. Right. And then my missus now, she showed me her fake boobs on the second date. And now I got two kids. And she's very tired.
I was going to say, I hope the same thing didn't happen again, boy. Because no, she's no, listening. No, no. She ain't going to be happy. Okay.
So you've got lots of left.
Yeah, man.
Let me ask you a question before we get into present day. Like, how does fitness in London compare to, or fitness in the UK compared to like the people in Australia? Because we kind of think that Australia, beach, everyone's got six packs, tanned. What's that contrast like, mate? Like from coaching in the UK to Australia?
So when I went there, Where I was PTing in London, no disrespect to anyone that I was PTing with, but it wasn't like a career. It was like, hey, bring in some nice money, £50 an hour while you study, whatever. But when I went to Australia, because I was like young PTs, and I'm talking to these older PTs in Sydney, and they've got apartments in Sydney, $2 million apartments. I'm thinking, what? Did you make that from PT, brother? I said, are you doing something dodgy?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, it's all PT. And I was like, hey, you know what? There's a lot of money in Australia for PT. And the reason is there's a lot. Most people in Australia have money and everyone can afford PT. So there's a lot of demand for it there. And most of the year, it's good weather. So people need to look good all year, you know? So there's going to be more business. Whereas in Europe, in London, you go from summer. Now everyone's slowly letting go. They're slowly letting go for winter and then 3-4 months before summer, they're like, oh shit, I need to hit up my PT. Well, there, it's like, nah.
Yeah.
You got to stay lean. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But when it comes to the PTing and like the professionalism, when I went there, I saw that a lot of PTs were like, they were a lot more professional than what I saw, what I was used to in London. And their knowledge and their experience was higher than what I saw. But it lacked for me. The biggest thing out there was they lacked personality and character.
Yeah, yeah. I remember James. Remember you guys saying that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It lacked it so much. And I was like, you know what? If you're charging someone $120 for 45 minutes, yeah?
Wow.
They better be enjoying their fucking time. If they're talking to a pot plant, what's the fucking point? You know what I mean? So although they have the knowledge, it's true, you know? It's true. You know? Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, and no disrespect to anyone there because I've still got a lot of friends there. And like, although you have the knowledge or whatever, but if you don't have the charisma or personality to deliver it well, where your clients get motivated,
yeah,
they don't care. You can tell them what you want. They wouldn't care, you know? So what I tried to do, what I did was step my game up with professionalism out there and bring the hustle that I did from London and my personality and just kind of combine it together as much as I could to dominate in the gym that I was at. And I've done well at that gym, and I was still playing football in Australia, so I was doing both there.
Let me ask you, so would you say that the general public out there were maybe a little bit more knowledgeable when it comes to health? They're a little bit more, they take care of themselves more. So that's why you had to raise your game, would you say, or?
Yeah, 150%. Hmm. Like, you'll get this yummy mummy will know her macro split and what program, what phase she's doing. She's like, I'm doing this periodization, whatever. And I'm thinking, wow, this person knows.
Yeah.
She knows her shit. Whereas people here, they lack that more, I think, because it doesn't come first, you know? Whereas over there, lifestyle, people are a lot more relaxed. They have a bit more money. And I think fitness and looking good and being healthy is quite important out there, especially when you're in like the eastern suburbs or around the beaches in the city, you know?
Yeah,
when you go towards the middle of Australia, when you go inland, it's not as much as like that. But in general, I feel like most of Australia is very aware of what they're doing. And they like to learn about what they're doing. And they want to stay in shape all year round.
Let me take you back to when you got into the industry, because I speak to pretty much everyone about this, about the changes that we've seen in the industry right now. And I remember, like, I got into the industry when I was 27. Gosh, show my age now. So 12, 13 years ago. We weren't told about calories. We were just told about carbohydrates, fats, and protein. We weren't told about calorie deficit, flexible dieting. It was, and I've said this time and time again, we were taught the food pyramid, right? I was putting like college mums on six portions of carbohydrates a day, and they were getting fat. And I'm trying to get... So I had to kind of learn my own way. And, you know, you go on these courses and your CPD, and I remember the whole sort of journey being going from the food pyramid. Then I like discovered CrossFit and paleo, and it was like really lean doing CrossFit and paleo, but I was a young man with no kids and no biscuits in the house. Then it was clean eating and detoxification, which almost gave me a fucking eating disorder. And I'm still trying to rewire some of my clients' brains now to where we are now. And I think it's just such a great time because there's an awareness of calories. We've got the fitness trackers. We've got the calorie apps, all that type of thing.
Yeah.
But we're still trying to get rid of those people that are talking about clean eating and hormones and all that. So you came into the industry 6-7 years ago. What was the message when you came in? What were you getting? Because it evolves all the time, isn't it?
Right. I was on, no, you know what I was on? I was on that Charles Poliquin hype.
Yeah.
I was, hey.
Yeah, RIP to the big man. Yeah.
Oh my days. Yeah, I was on that hype, and the coaches that I was like training with, I've always tried to surround myself with coaches that are better than me, and that's how I've learned best.
Yeah,
and they were doing their Charles Poliquin courses, SSC, this, that. So I was kind of on that hype, but also because I was playing football, I never, although I thought about my nutrition and stuff, but I was more like, I'm training and I'm eating well. I'm not like dieting and exercising. You know what I'm trying to say? So, but I did, when I did pay attention to it, and because I've always kind of been I've been a little bit soft, you know, since I was a kid, right? And like, when that happened, I was like, wait, I'm going to start trying all this shit, like what you spoke about. But I think for a lot of people, I think that's a learning curve.
Yeah.
And as long as you're open-minded to try these things, you'll eventually find out that you don't need to do that shit. You know, and like, just like you are open-minded. That's why you went through all those phases.
Yeah.
Like I did. And now, you know, whereas some people are fucking stubborn, man. I'm like, you just got to let go, bruv.
Yeah.
Let go and listen and it will work for you. But you know, some people, it takes time for them to rewire them.
Yeah.
To try something basic, because in their head, they're like, no, it can't be that simple. They're like, it can't be that simple.
Yeah.
For years.
Yeah.
I've been overcomplicating it.
Yes.
It's been a struggle. It feels like a chore. You're telling me I can eat what I want, stay with my calories, hit my protein goal, that I'm going to get gains. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, fuck off.
Mate.
I'm like, try it.
Mate.
You know? And
this is the thing. Yeah. It's like, I said to you, like, when I took my business online in 2012, you know, I was coming off the back of courses which were like clean eating, clean eating, clean eating. And we would have like cheat days, and I would encourage big cheat days. And I'd be like, yeah, you know, you've got to like manipulate this hormone and leptin and this and that. And then I was finding people going, Treads, I've had a cheat day and I can't get back on the wagon and I've fucking gone. And like to this day, I'll get clients come back into our sort of generic programs and go, and I'm going, right, listen, this is where I'm at. This is what I knew then and it got you results. And I put my hands up and I make no apologies because it got you results. This is what I know now. And I try and steer them away from food labeling and help them track their calories. And I always say, you only know what you know. And I've never, when I went online, my intentions were good, you know, but I was maybe a little bit misguided. That still got results, but now we can do something a little bit more sustainable. Yeah. But it's a constant rewiring of people and saying, don't label this food good. Don't label this food bad. The dangers of doses, the dangers of doses. Are you still dealing with people like that day to day? That need that constant...
I am. A lot of... Wait, man. We get a lot of inboxes.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of stupid questions. And I love answering them. And I love making someone go, ding! And they're like, oh, shit, I never thought of it like that. And I think your delivery is quite important to help them rewire. So I've got, with my online clients and with people that help out through the academy, you do get a lot of them. But because of the modules in the academy and the message that we give on starting to understand... and yeah. Learn from what we're doing. And I'm trying to use our personality and trying to show people us. And by people respecting, loving us, they try what we tell them.
Yeah.
You know? And they eventually turn back around. But I get that through my online clients. I simplify it to them. And they troll my fucking up. I can't believe this.
Yeah.
But yeah, still, I think you're always going to deal with those sort. You got to make sure you give... depending on who the person is,
yeah.
Give them the right delivery, a way yeah. That across that talk.
Yeah. I'm with you, mate. I'm with you. So when did it start to turn for you? Obviously, you went down the whole Poliquin route for a bit. You learned a lot. And then as you evolved, at what point was it for you that you kind of like realized that flexible dieting was kind of like the way forward?
So basically, I went to one of my friends, the person that has done the Poliquin. And stuff in London, and I was like, I need to get lean, man. I want to get lean for the summer. You need to help me out. And this is someone that I was training with week in and week out, and he was pretty much my mentor here in London. His name's Andy.
Yes.
Sick guy. And he gave me the approach of, this is your target, Darren. These are your macros, and this is your program.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, sorry? It just turned around, and I was like, oh my days. What, there's no good food or bad foods? You know what I mean? And it just went bang. And then from there, I was like, perfect. I'm going to start putting this across to my clients. And when I went to Australia, I was doing it. But then when I met James and his approach, then I really pushed it.
Yeah.
Then I really pushed it more. You know what I mean? I was a lot more open with what I was saying. Because I think there's that element of, you know, where you're like, you want to make sure you're professional with your approach.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the way we've put things across, people might think we're unprofessional, whereas I think it's completely the opposite.
Yeah.
You know? And where I got more comfortable like that on social and on the gym floor where I was working, I was pushing that approach way more.
What was the kind of message in Sydney when you were coaching out there? What was the thing like? What were they into? Was it paleo and CrossFit a thing, or was it Poliquin big out there? What was that when you moved out there and you were coaching?
A lot of the athletes, a lot of people know how to train, especially the athletes, you know. So those people were more like eat and train, not too much stress. He took it to extreme levels, you know.
Yeah.
And I think whether it was the same thing here, it's usually the same thing there, especially with today's day and age with social media and online, you know. It's pretty much the same thing. It's pretty much the same thing. Whatever's going on here is kind of going on there, except they kind of take it to the next level.
So let's talk a little bit about, mate, about when you kind of engineered out of the whole PT thing in Sydney, and then you've gone on this kind of crazy mission with James to talking on stage, traveling all over the place, seminars. You've got, you're part of the JSA Academy, obviously. So how did you guys meet? He was coaching, wasn't he? He was coaching in Sydney as well.
Yeah, he was coaching. He came into the gym and he was doing his live Q&As. And at this point, he had a couple thousand followers, maybe three or four on Facebook or something like that. And Instagram, I don't even think he was really active on Instagram. and maybe a bit more, I'm not sure, 5-6 hours max. And he was doing his live Q&As, and he had 30 came into the gym, right, as a franchise with another guy, and he would do his live Q&As in the morning, right, just in front of everyone. And a lot of people were showing hate. And in Australia, it's a bit funny. There's, I found more so than ever, there's that bitchy environment.
Yeah.
And Australians might not like this, the way I say this, but in the gym environment, that's what it was. Someone will say something behind your back and they'll say something different to your face.
Sure.
And there was that approach going on to James, and there was a bit of hate going on towards James because they didn't like his approach, how he was confident. I was the exact same when I came in, but I was a bit more gentle with the confidence, right? But when I met James, all I saw was like, this guy's just trying to be a part of the group and just trying to show himself in the best way possible so he can be like with the lads. And when he was doing his live Q&As on the food court, I would just jump in the back. I'll be like, yo, my name's Darren.
Yeah.
So when there's people like hating, I was doing the opposite because I wanted to, I love all that shit, innit? And then he complimented me on my Nike Flyknits, and I was like, yes, my guy. If he likes trainers, I said, I like this guy. And then from there, kind of kicked off, said, if he wants to have a coffee, let's grab a coffee, then invited him out. And then when I started seeing his online stuff and it started pushing, it motivated me to put myself out there more. But not do what everyone else is doing at the moment. A lot of people are trying to imitate people, which is like annoying because they don't understand that it comes across so bad.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I saw it, I got motivated and I was like, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do it as me.
Be you. You know? Yeah, you're going to be you. As me. Yeah.
Exactly. Because everyone knows the fucking basics. You know what I mean? Everyone knows how to train people. Everyone knows what, all PTs, if you're qualified, if you read a book, you know what the crack is.
Yes.
It's just the delivery is not as good as some people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just pushed that approach. And then when James's online stuff was popping off, he had a business idea and he needed an IT guy. He was looking for an IT guy to pay. And he knew we had another James named James Shaw, one of my best friends from Australia. And I was like, wait, I've got a guy for you. I've got a guy for you. He's like, who? I said, James Shaw, my best mate. So I kind of, they knew each other, but I kind of nudged them a little bit together.
Yeah.
And then I kind of knew naturally I would get involved too. I knew it would kind of happen. And not long apart, they needed someone else to do like the programming side of things.
Sure.
And then I got involved with the academy. And then I was like, listen, I'm self-employed at the moment. I'm going to come into the academy as an employee. The only reason I'm coming in is because I want to be a part of this movement and I want to work with my best mates.
Yeah.
You know? Because I was bringing in like $3,500 a week at least in Australia. That's big money, man.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like for me, it's anyway.
How many PT sessions
were you doing? I was doing at least eight to nine a day. I was working from 6 a.m. to about 3, 4 p.m. back to back, charging $120 an hour, $90 for 45 minutes. And lads, I'm getting out of the country. James was also going through a similar thing. And James' business partner, my best mate, James Shaw, he was like, boys, you're going to Bali. And I was like, what? He's like, just take off. He goes, you boys bringing in money online. They're like, he's like, what are you doing here? He's like, go take over, dominate social media, whatever. And we're like, fuck it. And then as soon as I left, because I left Australia with like 3,000 followers, man. And I used James's exposure that he gave me.
Yeah.
I used it well. Yeah. I used it well. You know what I mean? When people, they see James with like 150K followers and they see me with 30K followers, they're like, oh, you got that through James? I'm like, yeah, he gave me the exposure.
Yeah, you used it.
But then I used me. I've done a good delivery. 100%. Yeah. I used whatever I have well and it's paid off for me as well as him. Like, cause we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun.
I've seen that, mate. Yeah.
You must have
saw huge potential because you literally, you were earning decent money. I mean, I don't know what that would equate. What would that equate to, like, back home?
Like, at least $2,000. £2,000? £2,000 a week or something?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so you got all that to go fully online?
Yeah. Because I think a lot of people do, they get comfortable, you know? Sometimes you have to take a step back to make a leap, you know? I don't, there's a saying like that, but I'm not really good with remembering shit like that. So, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, take a step back. And you know what? it's paying off. And I know. And when all this stuff that's happening, I could see it happen. I knew James saw it happen as well. And I was visualizing, I was like, all this stuff that's happening at the moment. And I was like, this is going to blow up. And I'm just going to keep pushing, pushing, pushing. And although I'm not earning big money now, I know I'm going to by giving the right message. Yeah. Unlike those snakes, like herbal, like. Or them snakes.
We're gonna come on to that.
You know?
So,
but it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Tell us a little bit more about the James Smith Academy, mate, and how you guys have built that.
All right, cool. You know what's mad? Yeah, me and James, when it all kicked off, me and James are walking around the gym with a camera and just filming ourselves doing exercises, talking about what it does, what it works, how you should do it, what you shouldn't do, how you should apply, but with like banter and like by being ourselves, right? Yeah. What are these fucking idiots do? James Smith Academy now, like, he's got over, fuck knows, I mean, he's probably like three and a half thousand followers, members or something.
Yeah.
And it's going to get big, a simple yet enough approach to change people's lives. And going on tour and meeting all the members and people that come and watch the shows and meet us, one woman cried and hugged me. Oh,
yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't have done that. I said, you got the wrong person. And she's like, no, Darren, you do my program. I'm like, stop it. Nah, I need to call my mum and tell her this. You know, so it's like, it's mad. It's crazy powerful how you can give such a good message and actually change people's lives by using a camera from your phone.
Mate, I remember going online and you... you don't realize the people that are watching and the people's lives you're changing. And like, I think it's such a nice moment. Like you obviously, you see the results online and things like that. But then I've traveled around, like going around all my boot camps and that. And like guys are literally coming up to you, hugging you, shaking your hand, saying like, you've given me back my life. I can run around with my kids now at the park. And you just forget like, do you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, don't you?
Yeah. You never know who's watching. Like, I went to Body Power, right? Walked into Body Power with James. James was speaking. We didn't know what we were heading into. And like, little did I know, people stopping us for selfies, right? And they're like, we watched your whole trip from Bali.
Yeah.
Next minute I know, I'm meeting like Jamie Alderton, Phil Graham, all the big dogs. Mm-hmm. And like, they know who I am. They've seen my social media. They start following me, Martin McDonald. I'm like, oh my days, this is sick.
Yeah,
I watch these guys all the time. Little did I know, they were like, they actually see my stuff, you know? And I was like, hey, this is crazy for me. And I'm loving every minute of it.
Do you know what I love about you, mate? You're like, you always come across as like super grateful. And like, that's one of the reasons I wanted to get you on, because like, you've blown up like exponentially, but every time on your stories, you're always like, this is mad. I can't believe this is happening. I'm so grateful for this. And like, you seem really appreciative, like you don't take it for granted, which is amazing. And like, I think people buy into that. They can see the fake people. And I can see like you and James have got completely different backgrounds. Like, do you know what I mean? But you just gel well.
Yeah.
You're both super appreciative of of what's happening.
Yeah. It's mad because James' background, my parents were political refugees. You know what I mean? And I was lucky when I was born here. My sister, mum, dad, and all my other cousins and family, they were all like political refugees. And so I still live at home, man. I still live at home. When people ask me, I'm like, yeah, I'm with my mum's here and my dad, innit, at the moment.
And all the fam. I've been seen away from them cousins and that, and the Turkish refugees.
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of them. I'll get slapped by my sister.
Yeah.
By my mum, by my dad. I've woke up at 4 a.m. doing online programs, then going to do sessions, then going and doing football training at night. And a lot of people think when you work hard, like all this stuff won't happen, but you don't realize there's people watching. There's people watching all the time.
Yeah.
You know? So you just got to keep hustling. And that's but the jet thing for me. Oh my days.
We
got on the jet. Oh my days, my legs are shaking.
but one of the things is as well is like I've been online for 6 years and people, I don't think people really realize the work you put in. like the actual work that you put in. And it's sometimes it's hard to be creative. You've got to write an email, and that email might depend on how many sales you're making for a program, and you don't fancy it. And you've got to write that email. You've got to be creative. You've got to do the thing. Yeah. You've got to over deliver. And a lot of people think that it's just, yeah, that laptop life. Don't get me wrong. You can work from anywhere. Like I've worked on holiday and stuff like that. Yeah. But you're doing, when I've got a program launch, you're doing crazy hours, crazy, crazy hours. They don't see what goes on behind the scenes, right?
It's mad. Like when, right, put our routine in Bali, right? Was like me and James wake up 5:36. 2 hours on a laptop, programming, answering people, replying to emails, replying to members, social media, DMs. We reply to every DM. I've got 200 right now that I'm going to reply to later.
Good man. You know?
And then after that, we'll go do a quick session. We'll train, eat a little bit, half an hour nap, boom, back on the laptop.
Yep.
Although it's not a 9-to-5, but you actually put so much effort in, you know what I mean? But as long as you enjoy what you do, man, the hustle is fun.
Yeah,
it's exactly. So much fun. I mean, especially the social media stuff, like the videos that we did yesterday. Like, we just have so much fun
with
this banter and that. And you do, you have to be creative, and you got to take risks. You got to have the mentality of not do that. Think, what are these idiots doing? You just got to brush that off and just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that... I remember going online in 2012. There was no Instagram then. It was just Facebook. And I built a Facebook following to like 25,000 quite easily. But now it's very saturated. You go on Instagram, everyone's doing it. So you've got to stand out. You've got to have that like pattern into it. And I think people want to be entertained as well. They want to be entertained because it's so easy just to scroll Instagram and you've got your next one with that. People want to be entertained. Like when I watch you and James's video... Yeah. I'm killing myself with laughter.
Yes, and that's the aim, you know, because think about it. When people are meeting us here, I'm like in England, have you seen how people are so addicted to like reality TV shows? Mm-hmm. Like Only Ways Essex and Love Island and this and that and blah. What people don't realize is on social media, your story, that's reality TV to these people.
Yeah.
That's reality TV.
Yeah.
You've got like a massive audience.
Yeah.
And you've got to show people some fun. If you don't, they're not going to listen to you, are they? Like, why would they listen to you if you're going, oh, yeah, mate, yeah, you got to get your calories.
And
no one cares, bro.
Like, how many people are viewing your stories every day? Like,
I hit my highest the other day, 12.3K.
That's amazing.
12.3K.
That's amazing.
It's mad.
And it's funny because I've only really just started to get busy on Instagram, but I remember thinking, oh, I can't be asked. I've got a bigger following on Facebook. But if I do a Facebook Live, even though I've got like 24,000 fans, I might only get 30 people join. Whereas I'm going, hang on, I'm on Instagram story now. I'm getting a couple of hundred there and I'm on less than 2,000 followers. So it makes sense. Do you know what I mean? And it's so powerful. It's so powerful getting messed up. So look, dude, let's move on. Right, I want to get to the nitty gritty of, because we've got about 10 or 15 minutes. What is your beef with Herbalife, dude?
Yeah, bruv. Mate, be careful, man. I know there's a lot around these ends. I've got to be careful. You know what it is? I've got a couple of friends. I've got people that I know that do it, right? And what I hate fucking cults, man. I can't stand cults. And I don't care what anyone says here. They're like a fucking cult. The way they come at you from left, right, corner, just for a fucking sale. Yeah, I can't stand it. And I'm like, cool. Tell me what you did. How are you going to change my life? Hit me up. Tell me. Put them on the spot. And it just frustrates me that, I'll give this as an example. My mum, political refugee, right? Her education isn't going to be as good as someone in Western society. Her education on macros, calories, what to eat, what not to eat, isn't going to be as good. Some prick comes and offers my mum a £120 breakfast shake that's going to help her lose weight. And she doesn't know about any of this stuff. She's gullible towards this stuff. She's going to pay money to this person and take it and use it and not solve the actual fucking problem. Sorry, I'm swearing a lot.
No, it's fine, mate. It's a podcast for over 15. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't actually solve the problem. It just makes these people give a sale. And then what they try doing is getting all these supervisors to work underneath them so they can... They say it's not a pyramid scheme, but it kind of looks like one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. But I just don't like their movement And I just hate the fact that they're like a cult, man.
Yeah.
It annoys me. Have you seen their little get-together?
Oh,
have
mate.
You seen their get-together? Oh, my days, bruv. It's yeah. like, you know what? You know what it's like? I don't want to say this. It's like, hey, I swear, Daniel, the way they act, yeah, they're moving like ISIS out here. I swear. And like, oh, we're trying to make the world a healthier place and this. Shut up, man. You're trying to make sales, man. Don't piss me off. You're trying to make
yeah,
sales.
Yeah.
At least be on. If you're honest and you're telling me you're trying to make money, I'll say cool.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you're trying to make my mum healthier by giving her a shake. And you're telling me all these vitamins and all this stuff and it's the perfect shake. Cool, yeah. bro. Did you yeah. take it to a lab? Did you take it to a lab? No, you didn't. So shut your mouth and admit yeah. that you did sales.
That's I remember you did the Instagram video where you actually called a rep and she was saying how like that the fat would turn into muscle if you drink these shakes. But it is wrong. I'm laughing about it because we're informed. But I think what you're saying, all joking aside, is there's so much miseducation out there. And, you know, I see my friends and I've done Herbalife. I've lost 11 pounds this week. And I'm going, okay, great. That's not all fat. Okay, so how long are you staying on it for? What do you do after? And they don't seem to fathom that. Yeah. I said, you could have had a Twix for fucking breakfast and a Cadbury's cream egg for lunch and a real meal in the evening. You lost weight because you're in a deficit. What are you going to do? You're going to stay on it forever? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
See that video I did? A lot of fake accounts comment. And little did I know, this person is actually high up in Herbalife. He called me. He messaged me. He's like, I just want to have a conversation. I said, cool, ring me. He goes, I'm not going to talk to you. You're a fake account. And then I ended up sending a few messages. He trusted me. I said, video call me and let's talk. So he sent my video to the Millionaire Club in the UK, which is all the big dogs of Herbalife. And now what he's trying to do is whoever sells it has to be educated to somewhat level because of my video. I've done good, right? And that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now, because what he was saying, he was speaking to people in the Millionaire Club going, this cannot happen.
Yes.
He goes, you know? And I'm like, cool, I've done something good. Then my approach might have not been the best, although I think it was sick.
Yes. Be yourself.
And you know what the worst bit is? I just went on Instagram and searched Herbalife. And I clicked the first name and there was a number there. And I just rang it. And it just freeballed the whole thing. And it's just scary that someone could mislead someone like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's good, mate. And like you said, no, if you've made a change there coming from the top, at least like Herbalife's not gonna go away, but at least their reps might be a little bit more educated, right?
100%, boy. And I know, I was going into hiding, man. I'm looking at you know what happened? I was walking in Kent, these three guys in a van, big guys, looking at me. I was like, what's going to happen? Drove past, he went like this, fuck Herbalife, 24/7, they're on. I was like,
brilliant, mate.
Yeah.
So look, I want to get on to, I'm not sure how much recording time we've got left here, but I want to get on to something that you've basically like been responsible for starting a little bit of a movement. And I think it's great because I talk about NEAT a lot to my clients, especially some of the sedentary guys that think, you know, I said to you, they've got to go to the gym, they've got to do X, Y, Z. And it was funny because I worked with a fellow coach back in 2016. He was a bodybuilder and we created a program together and he used to keep saying to me all the time, Trex, you've got to do your cardio. You've got to go for your walks. You've got to get your knee up. And I was like, knee. And it was just used to go over my head. And I'd like, didn't pay any attention. And then I remember getting into a conversation with one of the coaches in the gym, who's a Cardiff Sports University lecturer. And I was saying to him that over Christmas, I'd overindulge, put on a bit of weight. And I tried to get back eating better and within my calories and training, but my weight was kind of like not shifting. But then I'd done a couple of days back in the gym and it had gone right down. And he went, yeah, that's because you're on your feet all day. Your NEAT's gone up. And I was like, and then all of a sudden I started paying attention. I was like, fuck. Like,
yeah,
he's absolutely right. Like, I'm moving more. And I remember before I became a PT, I used to drive a van for a living for a couple of years. Yeah. And so I was always on my ass. And then when I went into a gym, I just thought, oh, I know more about healthy eating now and I'm doing CrossFit. That's one of the reasons I've lost weight. Well, no, I'd gone from sat on my ass all day to fucking doing 15,000 steps, so not even realizing that the benefits of this. And I think we come from a place like years ago where it was all about high intensity interval training. And whereas now we can give this upgraded message, which is keeping your knee up. So listen, knee up 24/7. What is it, my man?
Yes, knee up 24/7. Right, that happened on a hype, yeah, because when me and James are away, when we were away during the summer on like tours, we'll have like hypercaloric days where we're having mad calories from alcohol, food, and whatever. And when we come back to home where we're based, we would kind of like, not aggressively diet, but kind of aggressively go into a deficit by increasing your meat and whatever, whatnot. So we would kind of be competitive, right? So he would ask me, like, what are you doing, Darren? I'll be like, I'm walking to the gym. He'll call me again in 2 hours. He'll be like, what are you doing, Darren? I'll be like, bro, I'm walking to the gym. He's like, where the fuck is this gym? I'm like, I'm getting my meat up 24/7. Yeah? And then I was like, he's like, what? And then I was like, just watch the stories. And then I started doing all this random stuff. Knee up 24/7, like sitting on the toilet, moving my feet, jumping up and down, knocking on the door twice, like all this dumb stuff. Little did I know, yeah, I went to bed that night, my DMs went off. But someone from Saudi Arabia doing...
Mate, I remember watching your stories and you were just like, your head was all over the
gaff. I was like, what's going on? Saudi Arabia, Manhattan, New York, New Zealand, South Africa, London. I was like, how the hell with me just being chatting shit on my social, on my Instagram, motivate people to move? And people like, Darren, you have no idea. James's calorie deficit and you knee up 24/7 has literally made me drop so much body fat. It's unbelievable. He's like, I can't believe I didn't do this. And because when I was talking about this, I was telling people, they were like, what do you do to get lean, Darren? I was like, in Sydney, I said, I was setting high aims of my steps. I was hitting 25 to 30,000 steps
amazing, a day,
but not really cutting out my calories with what I eat. Right. So a lot of energy expenditure, which made me get shredded. Well, okay, not shredded. I'm never shredded. But like lean, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Lean. And people are like, so what are you doing? I'm like, you know what? I finish work, I get a coffee, I put on my AirPods, I listen to an audio book, and I go do a coastal walk in Sydney. Just increase my steps. Because I don't really like reading, man. I can't read. I'm dyslexic, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I put on my headphones, and that's the best way I learn, by either training with people or listening to podcasts or audio books. And I was like, perfect. Getting my knee up 24/7. And trying to learn at the same time, you know what I mean? And working on the tan a little bit as well.
But what I love is that, like, people don't understand this. Like we were talking about Herbalife, they're misinformed. I literally got off a phone call with a potential new client the other day, and I literally just said to him, you know, he was like 19 stone and trying to go running. And I'm like, do you enjoy running? He said, no, I hate it. I said, look, get a Fitbit and just start off going for 10,000 steps a day. And he was going, would that be enough? And I said, well, look, if you're running and getting injured and the other alternative is you just sat on your bum having a couple of cans every night, if you give me 10,000 steps 7 days a week, you're not going to get injured. You can listen to music. You can turn it into a little bit of a game by battling your friends. There's going to be no inflammation. It might take a bit of time out of your day. Dude, it's such a game changer, isn't it?
I'm like, cool, hit 10,000 steps a day, hit your calories. Like the ones that are quite a little bit overweight, I'm like, they're like, what about the gym? I'm like, don't worry about the gym for now.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Just hit your steps and hit your calories and you'll be fine. And it's amazing that something so simple can, like I said, your delivery, it depends on the delivery. If the delivery is fun approach, some people I know for a fact are going out for a walk just to do a social media story to hashtag me up 24/7.
Yeah.
And I'm good. You know what I mean? And I'm buzzing about it.
Yeah. And again, like it does come back, like that it's just such a, I think is a refreshing time to be in industry, because I say to clients now, if I could have seen myself 11 years ago telling you to go for a walk, I would have punched my old self in the face. But now I'm going, look, because I say this to people, look, you have to understand this, right? If you do high intensity interval training 4 or 5 times a week, you're not going to get the intensity which makes it high intensity interval training, because you're going to be tired. By the end of the week, you're going to be dreading your HIIT session because you're just fucking fucked. And you're probably going to end up overeating because you're so damn hungry from it. I remember when I used to do like things like CrossFit, and I'd be so hungry, mate. I couldn't control it. Whereas if you just get your steps in, it's manageable, isn't it?
I know. And you're just like, yeah. Yeah, you go in, you start hitting, eating shit loads of stuff from your cupboard, and like people are like, oh, I'm doing high intensity. Oh, hitting 80-90% on my brother, you're mad. If you were hitting that high intensity, you won't be able to walk for the next 2 days. I said, all you're doing is tiring yourself out, draining yourself, all this HIIT shit, yeah, making it seem all like this it's such a chore. You know what I mean? All this, it's like, it's a chore, you know what I mean? Unless you're an athlete, you're training specifically for something, then that's a different story. But if your goal is fat loss, and let's be honest, a lot of people hate it. They're like, oh my God, no way. Amazing. And I'm buzzing about it because it takes time to build yourself on social media, right? Yeah. James is known for a calorie fucking deficit, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? And I've been swinging punches for a whole year. And finally, something went pop. Bam. And now, when people see me shining it up 24/7, it makes my day, man. I get so happy. Mate, it happened next to my mum a couple of weeks ago. And my mum was like, who's that? I'm like, I don't know, mum. It's mad.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It's so good, mate, because obviously, you know, as PTs, we know what NEAT is, you know, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, but you've turned it into a fun thing as well. And I think this is what's great about things like keeping your NEAT up. I remember when I first got my Fitbit, and I was like straight into battles with all of my clients and friends. My missus like bought one. She was walking around the yard on our farm at like 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm getting my 10 tires. But it's making it fun. It's making it fun, you know? And this is something I tell a lot to my clients, especially I did a video this morning. I was like, look, it's the weekend. A lot of people think I'll kick back, I'll do nothing. But here's the thing. A lot of my guys are on their ass all day doing nothing. So they get to Saturday and Sunday, they're not confined to a desk. Get out in the park with your kids. Yeah, and I remember when I discovered this NEAT and having a Fitbit and that, it actually made me a bit of a, I'm more a hands-on dad, but it made me a better parent because I was going down to Barry Island and pushing my kids up and down in the fresh air for 3 hours.
Yes, 100%. And it's mad. Even like you saying that, I'm like mad happy about that because I think a lot of people lack that. You know what I mean? And now I'm getting kids shouting it with their dad, walking them to the park.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, this is fucking, it's amazing, bruv. It's mad. You know what I mean? And I'm just super buzzing about it. And I hope I keep pushing it because, boy, Leaning 15 is going to go out the window and meet up 24/7 is coming.
Obviously, a big part of what you do with James, but your mate, you've got a great name for yourself now. Meet up 24/7, the thing. You've got your T-shirts. Yeah, that's your strap line. I know you for that. What is the future for Coach Cartel? Tell me, mate, because you're young in the game, mate. You've got years ahead of you, dude.
Yeah. This is the thing, you know, I think that's quite, in a way, it's a little bit hard for me to answer because I think I could go so many ways. I reckon I can go so many ways outside of the industry as well. And I'm having so much fun at the moment doing this online stuff and helping out James with his academy. And I'm supporting him with what he's doing because he's my best mate and I love being a part of it. But in the future, I'm definitely going to have my own thing. But I would love to get into a bit of entertainment as well, man. You know what I mean? But give the right message. You know what I mean? Like James was on TV a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, sure.
I want to do that as well. No, I will do that. It will happen at some point. You know what I mean? And I just want to build and keep building my social media, keep traveling the world. Hopefully one day get a nice car, buy my mom a nice house, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I want the simple things, but I just want people around me happy, my family happy, and the message that I give is important, and I want it to work. The message that I give, I want it to help people. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's happening. And like you said, man, I'm 26, man. It's hard for me to answer because my life changed so much in the last year. And it could change again in the next year or two. But what we're doing now, I'm going to keep hitting that movement, and just kick with the wind. I'm kicking with the wind at the moment, and it's so much fun.
I think the thing is, you can really see, like, you know, I said to you on when we were chatting on WhatsApp, I mean, I really like you. You're a big family guy. I'm a big family man myself, and there's some of the stuff you said there. You're like, you just want to buy your mum a house. You just want to make sure people around you happy. Like, I get up and go to and coach and run my online business every day so that my kids can live in a lovely house in a lovely neighborhood, to go to a great school. Yeah. And mum can pick him up from school rather than somebody else, child mind and all that. You know, my dad's just come and retired. He's living with us. You know, I've taken my dad in. It's all about family. And I think
I
just see that with you, mate, from your story. Just super genuine. You've got great people around you, but you've also got a great message. Yeah. And you're unique. You've got your own style. You've got that South London. You've got that kind of grimy kind of element. You're not a big nasty.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, I'm going to get on that show.
You're appealing to the man then, aren't you?
Well, this is what I wanted to do originally, because I was like, the comedian in that scene.
Mo Gilligan. Amazing.
You know what I mean? But there's no one in that culture, what I was brought up around. There's no one fitness that's entertaining. And I want to be that person. I want to be that East North London Turkish boy that was brought up in the ends, but bringing a fitness message across.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I want to be that guy. You know what I mean? And then, yeah. So that would actually be a wicked aim for me. I've always thought of that. But yeah, man, I'm just, you know what? I'm one of these guys that I love what I'm doing, but I'm happy when people around me are happy. You know what I mean? And so that motivates me to make people happy around me. Like, ideally, I'd love to just take my family out on a family trip. But with all this madness, you know what? It's even hard to sometimes spend time with them.
Yeah. Which
my sister, she keeps ringing me up, man. She's going to kill me. 100%. She's like, organize dinner. I'm like, I don't know when, man. Leave me alone. I'm like, I'm here though when you need me. You know, so... But I'm buzzing. I'm buzzing.
And I think this is one thing as well, like sort of veering off on a little bit of a tangent to anyone that's listening, is that I think it's really important to enjoy what you do, because you'll never work a day in life. I can see you're having fun. Like, I never clock the hours. Yeah. And I'm sure you're going to agree with me when you say this. Like, when I open my eyes, I cannot wait to open the laptop, open my phone and see what's going on, because we're all addicted. But I'm so addicted to my work. I love what I do. I love reading the comments. Yeah. I can't keep up with some days, but like that buzz of someone's life will never go away. And when you do that day to day, like, I've been doing this 13 years now. I'm 40 next month. This doesn't go away.
Yeah, big man. Uncle Treg.
This doesn't go away though. And, like, it's such a great feeling, isn't it? Because like, if you actually worked out how many hours you did, like, you probably wouldn't be earning that much an hour, but you do it because you love it. And then when you love something, money flows. But the best advice I was ever given is, don't chase the money, chase your passion, and the money will follow.
100%. And it will happen. It will happen. You know, 100%. I know it's going to happen for me. I know. People are like, how do you know? I'm like, don't worry about me, bro. Worry about you. Yeah. I know it's going to happen for me. You know what I mean? And I think you go along with those positive vibes.
Yeah.
It all fits into place. Don't stress out too much. Just keep hustling, working hard, chase your vision, chase your dream, and things will come through.
Where do you see Meetup 24/7 going, bud?
Hey, I'm going to make t-shirts, man. I want to see kids wearing it at school. I want to see mums, dads wearing it. I want to see people wearing it in a nightclub. Yes, Meetup 24/7. He's shouting in the background.
Yeah.
I know James is buzzing. Yeah.
All joking aside, some of my best neat is when I've gone out raving. I only go out raving a year now because I am old and I've got a family. But when I go out raving, my Fitbit's told me I've been on a 6-hour walk when I've just been rooted to the spot marching in a dance club.
No, don't. We'll go to a grime gig one day. I'll take you in.
Come on, I'm ready. Just give me 2 to 3 weeks.
You can be the whitest guy in there after games. And it'll be sick.
And there's a lot you don't know about me, mate. I used to organise garage raves back in my early 20s.
Wait, don't worry. I know, man, the way you speak, the way you are, how you have with me. I know, man. I can feel it.
I was the first person to put like Dream Team on in Cardiff and things like that. We're going back like over 15 years now, dude. Don't worry about that.
Yes.
Right, dude, listen, do you know what? It's been a real pleasure talking to you, mate. I feel really like proud to be able to give you this platform on your first podcast. I think you're a great guy. Obviously, we're friends now as well. And I hope this is the first of many for you, mate, because you've got such a refreshing message. You're a likable guy. And bottom line is you're in it for the right reasons. You want to help people. And you are helping people.
Yeah. And, hey, I just want to say, deep down for real, thank you so much. This, you don't understand. Like, this means, like, so much to me. And this is like, hey, you broke my virginity with a podcast, bro. I'll never forget that. You know what I mean? And I just want to say...
Hey,
you broke my virginity for the podcast. You know what I mean? But I'm sure we'll meet up again.
Of course.
I just want to say thank you. And I really appreciate it. For real. Because I know after this, a lot of people are going to hit me up for podcasts as well.
Yeah, of course, mate. Thank you. And listen, it's a two-way thing, mate. You know, I've just started to build my Instagram. So you give me a little mention and hopefully that'll work. So it works both ways. We help each other out in this game, dude, all right? So listen, Darren, before we go, where can people find you? What have you got coming up? Come on, just give it that big seller. Sell yourself even more, my friend.
Hey, I'm 6 foot, handsome, Turkish, speak two languages, athlete, part-time athlete, got a lot of chat. I can change your life. Just Google Coach Cartels. Man like Dregs, so on Instagram. On Instagram, Darren Cartel 92. Facebook, Coach Cartel. You know what I mean? You can catch me on the JSA. Catch me on my online programming. Big up Dregs for the shout out. Big up James Smith on the balcony. Sick, man. Hey, thank you so much.
My pleasure, mate. Listen, what we'll do, I'll stop recording and then I'll give you a little call, all right, dude? So, guys, that was the Best Men's Fitness Podcast with Coach Darren Cartel. Really enjoyed chatting to Darren. Guys, I hope you got some value from it. We're going to get it on iTunes. So give us a like and a share. Leave us some comments. And until next time, keep on trucking, guys. I'll talk to you very, very soon. Darren, over and out. Thanks again, mate. Meet up 24/7.